Well, as Henry's wished you a happy new year, that means it's a new year, therefore a new sermon series. But it's not really new. It's sort of picking up an old sermon series. You may remember that during summer last year, we had a sermon series entitled Read, Mark, Learn, where we were looking together at the Gospel of Mark. And so we decided that as we'd only got about halfway through Mark's Gospel, it would be a good opportunity now in this term as we prepare to go towards Easter at the end of term for us to come back to Mark's Gospel and finish off Mark's Gospel. So what I'm going to do today is just to start off by reminding us about some of the things that we looked at last term about Mark's Gospel in general, and then we'll look at one particular passage from the Gospel today from Mark chapter 10. So, do you remember the things that I told you generally about Mark's Gospel when we began the sermon series? I gave you three words. They all begin with the letter F, that's a clue, and they are three words that describe Mark's Gospel, just to help us remember three key things about the Gospel of Mark. Three words, all beginning with F. What were they? Fast was one of them. Well done. What was another one? First was another one. And we're doing well so far. Frankly speaking, I'm surprised you don't remember. Frank, that was the one. Yes, it's Frank. First, fast, and Frank. I'm not going to do the whole detailed introduction again. If you want to hear that, you can download the sermon from the 29th of June last year. But just to recap, Mark's Gospel is the first gospel to be written. It was probably written by the person who appears in the book of Mark, in the book of Acts, as John Mark. John Mark, we know, was Peter's close companion. Peter refers to him as his son in the faith. And so from earliest times, there's been a strong tradition that although the gospel has Mark's name associated with it, a lot of the material in it came from Peter. And it was probably written soon after Peter's death, probably in the 60s. So the first gospel to be written by John Mark with material from Peter in the 60s AD. And then we said it was a very fast-moving gospel. It's the shortest of all the gospels. Doesn't bother with a birth narrative, gets straight stuck in to the ministry of Jesus. And one of the words that is regularly used by Mark throughout the gospel is this Greek word euthus that means immediately. And in the very first chapter, he uses it 10 times, and immediately this happened, and immediately this happened, and immediately this happened. It's very, very fast-moving gospel. So a very fast gospel. And then we said it was a very frank gospel. It's very open. It's very honest in the way it records the events that took place. And that probably reflects something of Peter's influence. Peter, we know, was someone who was quite outspoken, said things as they were. And at times, Mark's gospel reflects that and is really very open, very frank. He tells it like it is. He does that when he's speaking about Jesus. So Mark tells us much more than the other gospel writers about the emotions of Jesus, the things that Jesus felt as he was exercising his ministry. And not only that, Mark tells us much more than the other gospels about the failings of the disciples. There were times when the disciples got things spectacularly wrong, and Mark doesn't hesitate to tell us those stories. The passage that we're going to look at today is actually one of those accounts that is a very frank account that tells us something that happened in the life of Jesus. It's from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. In a moment, Alice is going to come and read it for us. If you want to follow it in the church Bibles, it's on page 958. If you haven't got a copy of the church Bible and you'd like one in order to follow it, just raise a hand and immediately one of our hospitality team will come and place a Bible in your hand so that you can follow it on page 958. And so although it's a relatively short passage that we're going to be looking at this morning, it's a passage that is very frank about those very two things that we've already mentioned. It's very frank because it tells us something about an occasion when the disciples got things very, very wrong. And it's very frank because it also tells us something about the emotion of Jesus and the feeling of Jesus when his disciples got it so badly wrong. So Alice is going to come and read that for us, page 958 of the Church Bibles, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Yes, we do need one of those, sorry.
People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
Thank you, Alice. And we've entitled the sermon this morning, Kids and the Kingdom, because this is a story about Jesus encountering children. And it's a story that's been represented a number of times in children's Bibles and books of Bible stories in pictures. And I want to show you three pictures that I found of the way in which this story has been represented. And as the pictures appear on the screen, what I'd like you to do is to look at them carefully and tell me if you can see anything wrong with any of these pictures. Is there anything about them that you think is misrepresenting this story? So this is the first one from one children's Bible. That's a picture of Jesus receiving the children. Just look at that picture for a moment and ask yourself, is there anything wrong about that one? And now the next picture. And the next one. And so you can remember all three of them. Let's put three smaller versions of them up there. Okay. Is there anything about those pictures that you think, no, it wasn't like that? Anything about those pictures that you think is wrong? There aren't any men. That's right. Absolutely. There aren't any men. Because although we've historically thought of this story as when women brought children to Jesus, that's not what Mark says. Mark's gospel says that it was people who were bringing the children, and then he says the disciples rebuked them. And the Greek language is very accurate, and the word them in Greek makes it clear that there were men involved in this as well. It wasn't just women bringing children, but men. And so all of those hymns that we used to sing in Sunday school, when mothers of Salem their children brought to Jesus, anyone old enough to remember singing that hymn? Oh, there's two or three of us who do remember that one, yes. Yes, there were mothers, but it wasn't just the mothers. And so though it's not the main point that I want to make today, it is a point that I do want to make. For any dads who have ever thought or said things such as, "I leave all the spiritual stuff with the kids to the mum," or for any man who's ever thought, "I won't volunteer to get involved in Tots Church or Mini Church or Kids Church, that's not for men," this passage just blows that out of the water. Men were involved in bringing the children to Jesus, because I believe that is what God wants. And so we've already acknowledged that it's a new year. It's still close enough to the beginning of a new year to allow yourself to make a new year's resolution. So maybe for some of you men, your new year's resolution on the basis of just simply seeing this fact is that God wants you to be more involved in the spiritual development of your own children and not leave it to mum. Or maybe for some of you men, God wants you to get involved in Kids Church or Tots Church or Mini Church. Because it is for men. And you'll see men around the place wearing Kids Church, Mini Church t-shirts. It's for men as well. So that was one thing that I think the pictures got wrong. George, you have a question. But that's the next thing I was going to say, because I think one of the things that they've got right is the age range of the children. Because although Luke's gospel makes it very clear that babies were included, the word that is used for children here could actually be anything from a newborn baby up to a 12-year-old. So the word that Mark uses is actually a broad age range that could be anything from a babe in arms to a 12-year-old child. So I think that's something that the pictures got right, that the children were of a broad age range. So what you've got here is a mixed group of men and women who are bringing to Jesus children ranging in age, probably from newborn babies up to 12-year-olds, and they're bringing them to Jesus so that those children could come into contact with Jesus. That's what they want. They want their children to come into contact with Jesus. And the disciples get it badly wrong. Because we read here the disciples were doing their best to keep the people away and to keep the children away. We're not told why. But we are told that the disciples were obviously quite stern about it because it says they rebuked them. The disciples were not sort of just giving a very polite request to sort of, I'm ever so sorry, this really isn't a good time for Jesus. Would you mind coming back a little later? This was a blatant rebuke. This was, why are you bringing children to Jesus? Stop it. Take them away. They were rebuking people, telling them off for even thinking about bringing children to Jesus. And then we see the reaction of Jesus. And again, Matthew and Luke don't mention it in the detail that Mark does. Mark gives us the very frank version where he says that Jesus, in the NIV, the phrase is, he was indignant. And to be honest, that word doesn't really do justice to the word that is used there, which is a word of very strong and deep emotion. And some of the other versions that have translated it have used words like Jesus was much displeased or was deeply grieved. Some even translated as he was irritated, he was angry. One version even says he was furious. That's the depth of reaction that it provoked in Jesus. When Jesus saw his disciples trying to keep the children away, he was absolutely grieved and furious with them for doing that. And tells the disciples, stop that. Don't hinder them. Stop getting in their way. Let the children come to me. So we see this is one of those times where Mark gives us both an insight into the failings of the disciples, they got it wrong, and to this strong emotional response of Jesus, who was furious with the disciples. And Jesus then goes on to talk, to explain why they're wrong and why he feels so strongly. And he gives them, and therefore he gives us as well, some teaching on the subject of kids and the kingdom, which is what we're looking at today. Now, our main focus is going to be on the kids part of it, but we need to be clear what we mean by the kingdom part of it as well, because we know that the kingdom of God was the central theme of the teaching of Jesus. All the time, Jesus was constantly preaching about the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is God's rule as king. And Jesus demonstrated that by living his own life completely under the rule of God as king. And he calls us, he called people then and he calls us now, to turn away from living our lives where we rule over our lives and instead to bring our lives under God's rule as king. So the kingdom of God is when people put their lives under God's rule as king. And when we do that, when we bring our lives under God's rule, then we experience all the blessings that come from living under God's rule. We experience the blessing of forgiveness of sins. We experience the blessing of knowing God as Father. We have the blessing of knowing power to overcome sin. We have the blessing of being given the authority to do the works that Jesus did. That's what it means to be in the kingdom of God, to be living under God's rule, experiencing all the blessings of the kingdom. And the first statement that Jesus makes about kids is this: the kingdom of God, all of these things that we've just been talking about, belong to such as these. All of this experience of the kingdom that we've described is for children as well as for adults. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. It's such an interesting phrase, isn't it, that I thought it would be quite interesting to ask a number of sort of past, present, and future children's pastors and workers what they thought the statement meant. So with the help of Facebook, I did that. I put out a post on Facebook to a number of children's pastors and asked them, what do you think Jesus really meant by this statement? And one reply came in from the current children's pastor at St. Peter's Battersby, better known to us as one of our former Equip students, Marcus Hockley, who said this: children are central to God's kingdom. He said, I think the kingdom belonging to them means that they are actively, along with the rest of us, to play a part in establishing God's rule and reign here and now. I think we trained him well. I think we'll accept that as a great answer from Marcus. The kingdom of God belonging to such as these means that we expect children to be involved with us as adults in establishing God's rule and reign here and now, in living under God's rule and reign and knowing all the blessings of living under God's rule and reign. That is not something that is just for adults. That is something that is for children as well. And that's what we see as we go through the Bible. We see in the Bible that children hear God speaking to them personally. The story of Samuel in the Old Testament. We see that children are involved in pointing people to God's healing and salvation. The story of Naaman's maid. We're told that there are certain people like John the Baptist who was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Now, there's a theological thought to grapple with another time. We're told that children exercise spiritual gifts. I'm sure the boy who shared his 5 loaves and 2 fishes had the spiritual gift of hospitality and wanted to share. We're told that children worship exuberantly. In Matthew 21, it was the sound of children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," that made the chief priests and the teachers of the law indignant. Exactly the same word that is used for Jesus' reaction to people keeping children away from him. And so you've got this lovely contrast. Well, it's not a lovely contrast, it's an awful contrast. To the religious leaders, children worshiping exuberantly, they were furious, they were indignant about it. But to Jesus, children being kept away from him, that's what made him furious, that's what made him indignant. We believe that children have a place in the kingdom of God. That's why here at St. Bee's, we have Tots Church and Mini Church and Kids Church, because we are making the point that we want our children to experience God for themselves, that they can have the same experience of an encounter with God that we have. It's church for our children of all ages. A little bit of sort of internal way of doing things. When you were young, did you ever have the experience of saying something that your parents considered so awful that they said to you, if you say that again, I shall wash your mouth out with soap and water? Anyone have a parent who has, probably not said this day because it would be regarded as child abuse these days, but in our day it was just accepted as the normal and right thing to do. There are some things that if you say them, they're regarded as so bad that you'll have to have your mouth washed out with soap and water. Well, there are a couple of things that if we hear you saying them, we may well invite you to wash your mouth out with soap and water. And the first of them is this: if we ever hear you refer to Tots Church as the creche, that is an offense worthy of having your mouth washed out with soap and water. You see, a creche is where children are kept out of the way and looked after so that the parents can do something more important. That's not what we run. We do not run a creche. We run Tots Church, where our youngest children can go to meet with and encounter God for themselves. And what we run in here is a creche, which keeps you out of the way so that that important work can go on without you interrupting it and getting in the way. This is the creche. The encounters with God are going on in the vestry and in the parish hall and in the Pierce Hall. Now, yes, I know they go on in here as well. I'm overstating to make a point, but hopefully you get the point. We're not keeping the kids out of the way so that we can have a good time. We are genuinely expecting that they are meeting with God at whatever age they are at, in Tots Church and Mini Church and Kids Church. It's not a creche. So if you use the word creche, expect the invitation to the soap and water experience. And there's another phrase, which if you were to use it, you may well be invited to wash your mouth out with soap and water, and it's this. If you were to say, of course children are important because they're the church of tomorrow. No, they're not. Children are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. That's why from time to time we invite our children, some of our older children, to co-lead our services. That's why we invite our children to seek prophetic words for us. That's why we welcome them to come to the Lord's table with us, because they are the church of today, not the church of tomorrow. We try to take seriously what Jesus said about kids and the kingdom. Now, one of the things that preachers often find happens is this, that at the end of a sermon, someone comes up and says, I was really blessed when you said, and then they say the exact opposite of what you actually said. So I just need to give a warning now. If anyone comes up to me at the end of the service today and says, I was really challenged by what you said to get involved in creche because the children are the church of tomorrow, I take no responsibility for what I might say or do to you if any of you were to come up and say that to me at the end of the service. We take very seriously the fact that our children are the church of today who can encounter God in the same way that we can and be part of the kingdom in the same way that we can. But then Jesus goes on and he says a second thing, and he says this, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Now that's a very, very strong statement. Again, in Greek, it's a double negative with an aorist subjunctive. Just take my word for it. You don't get anything stronger than that. It's a really, really strong statement where Jesus is saying there is no other way to get into the kingdom of God than to enter it like a child. So how does a child receive the kingdom of God? Well, I think they receive the kingdom of God, they receive the blessings of the kingdom in the same way that they receive any other gift. There's an organization called Samaritan's Purse, and they encourage people around the world to pack shoeboxes full of presents, which are then sent at Christmas and given to children who would otherwise not get any presents. I'm about to show you a short video clip, it's only about 20 seconds long, of a child receiving a present. If you want to know what a child receiving a present looks like, so that you can understand what Jesus meant by anyone who not receive the kingdom of God as a child, this is what it looks like. Isn't that brilliant? That's how you receive a gift. That's what a child does to receive a gift. Jesus says, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child, you can't get in. What does that actually mean? Well, that little boy, that Angolan boy there, the first thing, he was just willing to receive the gift. And sometimes the biggest issue for us as adults is we're too proud to receive a gift. We don't like having something given to us. Sometimes we have to just humble ourselves to receive things as a gift. And that's how it is with the kingdom of God. We receive it as a child. We're willing to just receive that as a gift. And there's joy, and there's the desire to share the joy with other, and there's great trust, isn't there? He hasn't even opened the package. And he's ecstatic because he's convinced there must be good things in this package. And when we receive the kingdom of God, We may not necessarily know everything that that's going to mean for us, but we receive it with the simple trust-like attitude of a child who says, this is a gift from our Father. He wouldn't give us anything other than good gifts. So there's that humility, the willingness to receive, the trust to believe that it must be good. And there's that simple thing, there was no attempt to pay back. There was no attempt to say, oh, let me give you something back in return. That child in his poverty in Angola knows that he has nothing to give back. He can only receive. There's nothing to give. And that's how we must receive the kingdom of God. Like a child, willing to receive, trusting that our Father will give us good gifts, laying down any thought of ever trying to pay God back, because we can't. We can only receive the kingdom of God as a gift. And that's the way we enter the kingdom of God. And that's the way God wants us to live in the kingdom of God. It's not just that we start that way. It's that we continue that way as well. Receiving God's goodness continually like a child. You see, in the kingdom of God, I do not believe that Jesus is waiting for the children to grow up and become more like us adults. I think most of the time Jesus is waiting for us as adults to become more like the children. And then we'll experience more of his goodness and more of his blessing when we become more childlike in our response to him. So that's what Jesus says about kids in the kingdom. But as is often the case, actions speak louder than words. And then what Jesus does is actually even more amazing. We read this, and we could so easily look, just pass over the verse. He took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus actually does so much more than was expected of him. He took the children in his arms. And there's something about that description, isn't there, that's really so powerful. And it wasn't just a one-off. In the previous chapter, Jesus did the same thing. He took a child, and taking the child in his arms, he spoke. And I know that in today's society, we have to be extremely careful and extremely vigilant about touching children inappropriately. And yet, even in our day, some of the most powerful images that we remember are the images of people like Princess Diana taking children in her arms, as in that photo of a visit to an orphanage in Brazil. Or pictures of people like Mother Teresa often holding sick or dying children and holding them in her arms. Images of Pope Francis being willing to hug children, often those who are regarded as disabled or disfigured. And with all the caution that we do need to have, there's something about these images, isn't there, that speaks about the heart of Jesus, about the love and the welcome and the unconditional acceptance of the children. And that's what Jesus demonstrated when he took the children in his arms. And we're told that Jesus placed his hands on them. And again, it's a different phrase from the one that's used at the beginning of the passage. It's almost at the beginning of the passage that the most the parents were hoping for, that if they got close enough to Jesus, they might just come into contact with Jesus. But Jesus does so much more. He takes the children in his arms and he intentionally places his hands on them. And then it says he blesses them. And again, here, there's a normal Greek word for to bless, but Mark sort of strengthens it and puts a little bit in front of it to say, this isn't a sort of, this is blessing plus. And it's the only place in the New Testament where this word is used. It's used of Jesus and the blessing that he prays over children. He didn't just bless them. I think Helen Shannon would say, he uber-blessed them, if there is such a word. It's that sense of he really blessed them. And you can imagine, this would take time. Because to take each child individually into his arms and lay a hand on them and pray blessing over them, you can imagine the disciples, can't you? Oh, another one. But that's the attitude that Jesus gets indignant about, as he is willing to just take the children into his arms and bless them. by his actions, he was underlining and reinforcing all that he'd said about children and the kingdom, kids and the kingdom, that children are an important part of the kingdom of God, who are to be welcomed and loved and accepted unconditionally as part of God's kingdom along with us. And that we need to become more like them in order to enter the kingdom of God. Joshua and the band want to make their way back up as we just want to worship again in a moment. What is Jesus saying to us in all of this? I think for some people, it may be that Jesus is just saying to you today, you need for the first time to just receive the kingdom of God like a child. When I was preparing, my eyes just ran down the page and I saw that in the next passage, Jesus is talking about the rich. It's a passage that Elliot's going to be preaching about this evening, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And a sense that maybe you've seen yourself as someone who has a lot. You've seen yourself as someone who's quite well off. And actually, Jesus is saying to you today, you need to accept that you've got nothing to bring. You just have to receive the kingdom of God. Receive God's rule as king. Bring your life under God's rule so that you receive the forgiveness, the knowledge of God as Father, all of those things. I think that's what God is saying to some, that today is your day to receive the kingdom of God like a child. I do believe that God is saying to some men, get involved in kids' work. Don't leave it to the women. Get involved. I think for all of us, God is saying that he wants us to have the same heart and mind towards our children that Jesus had, but he also wants us to have the same heart and mind as our children and to become more childlike in our response to the kingdom of God. I believe that's the call of God to us this morning, to be childlike, to receive the kingdom of God like a child, to live in the kingdom of God like a child, to be more open for Jesus himself to take us in his arms and lay his hand on us and bless us, to see ourselves as children in his arms.